Castle Spotlight. I'm your host, Dave Duenas. I want to thank everybody, first off, that's been tuning in. I want to thank everybody that's been pledging with us on Patreon. And I especially want to thank everybody's response about our latest edition, Around the Ring, which I had a Kelly Pavlik, the Undisputed Middleweight Champion. I had editor of Three More Rounds, Ramon Arnada. I had ring announcer, Lupe Contreras. And everybody seemed to really enjoy that show. So, of course, we're going to do it again. It's not going to be a weekly show. It's probably just going to be a once, you know, every month type of show here. But the Boxing Spotlight, thank you everybody in response of with my segment. And now, you know, the second episode was with my co-host Felipe Leon. Now, if you haven't pledged with us, please do so. It helps us keep us going. It keeps us unfiltered. It keeps us independent. It helps out my colleagues like Steve Kim, George Gabriel Montoya, Felipe Leon, Brian Foggs, and Lenny the Fight Smith. It allows us to continue to be independent. So if you haven't pledged with us on Patreon, hey, hit the link down below. Get down over there and pledge a dollar or whatever you can afford, man. We would truly, truly appreciate you guys helping us reach our goal. Okay, so let's get down to this, all right? So I got a couple emails that obviously were on based on the same subject. Some of them really were about my tweets on Saturday night on the CBS showing between Keith Thurman and Danny Garcia, okay? So I'll get a response to that. And then if you don't listen to Leaving the Ring, which my YouTube followers and a lot of them saying, hey, welcome back. And you've been, MIA. It's good to see that you're back on YouTube. Now, those guys don't go to our podcast. So they basically, if they're going to hear anything from me, it's going to be on YouTube. So I guess I got to retrace everything I've said about Deontay Wilder, because those are some of the questions I've been asked about Deontay Wilder. What are my thoughts about him? What are my thoughts about his attack on Dominic Brazil? Do I think or do I agree with one of my compadres, Blood, who did a video about Deontay Wilder? Me and him go way, way, way back. If you don't know, if you're a podcast listener, if you don't know this, my roots come from YouTube. One of these, I'm not going to say founder, but one of the guys of, you know, five or seven YouTubers that got on YouTube before anybody else and started talking about boxing. So let's get down to it here on the Boxing Spotlight on Leave It in the Ring. So, Saturday night, we had on CBS the welterweight unification fight here. And it was a big event. If you're a boxing fan, it was a big event because they're unifying it, okay? And the last time that had happened, it was Tito Trinidad versus Oscar De La Hoya. And that was, what, back in 99 or 2000? I can't remember my dates on that. But anyways, so it was a big night. And it was a big night in terms of, what. First off, it wasn't on pay-per-view. It was considered free TV, which really ain't free because you're paying for cable. But it was big all around, a unification bout. And then also, it was the chance for PBC or Danny Garcia, Keith Thurman to bring on new fight fans. Okay. Now, granted, they were competing against a UFC card, a pay-per-view card. So they were probably not going to get that demographic of fight fans that normally wouldn't tune into a boxing match, okay? Because they're off now on a UFC card. So, but there's other people out there. Could have got football fans, baseball fans, whatever, or just a casual fan that likes to, you know, tune into regular TV and by some chance comes across Keith Thurman and Danny Garcia. Now, in my tweet, I had said that Danny Garcia is getting the wepa out of him by Keith Thurman. Immediately, I got a lot of emails about that tweet saying, hey, you know what, Dave? I don't see Danny Garcia losing this fight because he's blocking a lot of the punches from Keith Thurman. Now, listen, guys. Blocking punches doesn't get scored. I mean, sometimes it does, but it doesn't get scored a whole lot, okay? Especially in the judge eyes as they're on the four corners, all right? What they're going to judge is you blocking it and then returning a punch, making the other person, the opposition, pay for his mistake. And Danny Garcia obviously didn't do any of that. Okay, he sat there and he waited for the receipt. And he was waiting for the receipt from the other guy who paid for the meal. And that's Keith Thurman. Okay, where, like in the case of Amir Khan, We've said this numerous times. Amir Khan will throw a flurry of punches, and then he stands there and he waits for the receipt. Okay, Dennis Garcia didn't do any of that because the fact he never threw any flurries of punches. It was one punch here or there. And then when he did engage, it was in the late round. And sometimes he didn't win those exchanges. So did he block a lot of Keith Thurman's punches? Absolutely, he did. But the key thing he did not do was capitalize on Keith Thurman's mistakes of throwing punches that were being caught or paired, and leaving himself open to be countered by Danny Garcia. Danny didn't do any of that, all right? Here's the other tweet that I threw out there about Keith Thurman. I said Keith Thurman became the new marathon man, okay? Just summing it up real quick of what I said, okay? Marathon man. A lot of folks came at me and were like, well, I didn't see that running. I seen him boxing. I seen him doing this. Look, guys. Now, here's the thing that hurt. I believe the ending of the CBS broadcasting, because if you're trying to draw in new fans, you know, the casual fans or the common household person, if they got sucked in and watching Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather, that's probably one of the things that's embedded in their head. If a fan was a boxing fan that decided to turn away from the sport when Oscar De La Hoya ran off on four rounds from Tito Trinidad, that is embedded in their head. Well, Keith Thurman did exactly that. He reinsured the argument that there are champions now that do not want to take the risk of getting knocked out and rather cushion the lead by staying safe. Now, is it boxing smart? Absolutely. But people want to see entertainment, okay? Now, here's the thing. There was really no danger in terms of Keith getting really countered by Danny Garcia, because Danny wasn't doing any of that. You know, I don't know exactly what was being said to Danny by his father, Angel Garcia, because we had the commercials, which I don't really mind. If it saves us from the commentators saying some stupid crap that I don't even want to care or even, you know, that we already know, and it's just being repeated over and over and over and over and over during the break time, I'm all for commercials, okay? But we saw Danny go back out there. We saw Danny continuously do the same thing. Didn't cut the ring, didn't use the jab, didn't counterpunch, he said in the press conference said, I was the aggressor. You were the aggressor in walking forward, but you weren't the aggressor of putting pressure on Keith Thurman with combinations, okay? I mean, we rarely saw a 1-2 combination come from him. It was either one punch, he was looking for a big punch, and sometimes the punches were wild. And that was on both parties, okay? Both of them basically kind of left that void for every fight fan out there that was watching, okay? It started off really good. I mean, it started good. The fight was exciting. We saw some really heavy exchanges between the two. But immediately after, I would say, the third or fourth round, we saw these guys fall into almost like a cruise control mode, okay? Now, Danny Garcia, was he getting whooped? He was. He was getting beaten by the punch every time. And the reason why he was getting beaten by the punch every time is because he wasn't doing anything to stop the momentum of Keith Thurman. It was his job and his trainer's job and his corner's job to give him instructions to see things that Danny couldn't see and have him make those adjustments. That's part of being in boxing. That's part of being a champion. That's part of going in training camp. Training camp is there for you to learn certain things and have a game plan, A, B, and C. If A don't work, you go to B. B don't work, you go to C. Here is the thing, though. If you went down the alphabet line with Danny Garcia, he never tackled any of them. He went out there blind. And Keith Thurman went out there and did his thing. But what I didn't like was that those last championship rounds, he decided to get on his bicycle and basically just rode around the ring and try to, you know, waste the time on the clock, which really made the fight a lot closer and made the fight more of a debate now between Danny Garcia fans and Keith Thurman fans, because now they can go back and forth. They're like, well, you know, Danny did really pressure. I mean, look, Keith Thurman was running around. Keith Thurman was supposed to be the bigger welterweight, but yet he was running away from a guy that was a junior welterweight. That's a good argument there. So that there left me the taste of incompletion. And it left me going, we had the chance to really give the world a good fight. It started out good. If you were, like I said, a household person just coming across CBS and you saw the first 3-4 rounds, you're going, wow, this is a good fight. We're having a good fight here. And then you decide to plant your ass on the couch and bring out a 6-pack of beer and some chips and some salsa. And then after you decide to go, I'm going to check this out because it's on free TV. After the 4th and the 5th, you're like, okay, they're going to pick it up. 6th, and then you get down to the 8th and then you start seeing a guy doing some track meet. It's just going to make you go, wow, I'm going back to UFC. Click, done, over with. Okay? Now, here's something else from the emails here on Leaving the Ring. Now, if you want to send me a question or criticism, whatever you want, you absolutely can. It's at leavingtheRing@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter. It's LIITR Boxing. You can obviously subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher, as well as Audio Boom. Now, Angel Garcia. Now, we know Angel Garcia is not the sharpest tool out of the shed. Okay? Here's a guy that likes to use tons and tons of emotions. He's done it in his press conferences. He's allowed you to hear his views in political or racial issues. The one thing that I could say about Angel Garcia is this. This guy cannot think rational. He's not one of those type of people that's going to observe and then go, hey, this is what we could do. He runs on emotions. And like I said, I didn't hear a whole lot of what he was saying in the corner, but I can imagine the only thing that he's telling his son is keep going forward, keep going forward. I did hear him say about his right hand, bend your knees, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Nothing really they was said to Danny that motivated Danny to do something different. To have the urgency until we saw in the 12th round, he really put on some pressure, but the urgency of understanding that this fight was slowly slipping away from him, okay? Which, now, and honestly, it was slipping away from him from the first round. But you could give some of the flurries to Danny. He was landing some pretty good right-hand shots here. Did land some beautiful body shots, okay? But that all dispersed and that all just went missing after the 5th and 6th round. Now, Angel Garcia's response in press conference saying he's disgusted with boxing. He wants his son to retire. Let me tell you this about Angel Garcia. Let me tell you what Angel Garcia reminds me of, okay? And this is funny. Back when I was growing up in downtown San Jose, I obviously had my ring of friends. And you always got that one friend. And I'm pretty sure, anybody's listening right now, you got that one friend that is the cock blocker out of everybody. If he don't go home with a chick or he don't pick up on a chick, nobody is going to score that night. That's Angel Garcia. He didn't get his way with Keith Thurman. Didn't get his way with the judges. He didn't get his way with his son kind of winging it and getting the win, which he has done in the past. So what is he going to do? He's going to cry and go, forget it. Well, I don't want any part of it anymore. I'm done. Danny, you got to retire because I don't want no more of it. Why? Because there's now the criticism of that Angel Garcia is just not a very good trainer. Danny would do better with somebody that really knows how to train him. Give him advice. Give him the right advice. Because here's the thing. This is not the first time we've seen Danny Garcia look confused in the ring. That's not the first time we've seen Danny Garcia not able to adjust. This is at least 3 times now. Lamont Peterson, Mauricio Herrera, now Keith Thurman. 3 times that Angel Garcia has not been able to step up and be a real trainer to his son and give him the proper instructions or, in fact, give him the proper game plan in training camp. 3 times. So what do I say about Angel Garcia? Bye-bye. See you later. Trust me. You won't be missed. Dante Wilder is something that's been of major talks. Why? Because he's an American heavyweight. He's a bronze medalist. If you listen to Leave the Ring, if you listen to the next round, if you listen to Around the Ring, we have talked about this, okay? One thing about Dante Wilder is this, okay? My major issue with him is the fact that he's got a heavyweight title. And I've called him this numerous times. I've called him the prospect champion. And he gets in there and he proves my point. Okay, he gets in there with Harold Washington, who's an ex-football player, who also is a prospect and who my colleague Steve Kim called suspect. And guess what? The suspect was Dante Wilder going in there and basically being now jabbed from Washington. And Washington's front foot was so far ahead of his body that you knew that he was going to be stuck in the mud. And a real educated boxer would have saw that and capitalized it, counter it, and probably would have got him out of there a lot sooner. Now, could have been ring rust, could have been this, could have been that. It could have been a lot of things. But the one thing that you're not going to do when you get back from your layoff is be really unbalanced. And if you watch Dante Wilder, man, dude, he's like, it's literally watching a baby giraffe when he decides to let his hands go. This guy's all over the place. He has no balance. He has no coordination. He hasn't really learned how to use his height, his jab. There's a lot of room. And here's the thing is that the times that he has fought, we've watched him when he fought Stavern, you looked at him and go, okay, he's improving. He's getting a bit better. But every time out, and since he's got the championship bout, he seems to look worse. You know, the old saying is that when a guy that fights for the title and has flaws, once he gets the title, there's like a major leap. Now he starts fighting like a champion. Now he starts looking and honing the things that a champion does in the ring. With Dante, it just doesn't seem like that's the case here. It really looks like this guy was given a gift by Uncle Al Heyman. And I got to give it to the PBC. They are doing a fantastic job of keeping him away from real threats. Okay, because I was listening to my my buddy Blood's YouTube video, and he was talking about unification. That's the only way. Let me tell you this. That ain't going to happen, first off. And it shouldn't happen. You can't blame Al Heyman and PBC. They need to keep Dante Wilder far, far away from the Klitschko's, from the Anthony's, from the Parker's, to the Ortiz, to even the Miller, okay? They got to continue putting him in with Dominic Brazil, even Mansoor. Mansoor even probably even has Amir Mansoor probably has a good chance at hurting Dante Wilder because he's so wild. But putting him in with those other guys would mean really he's just a title holder, which we already know. And he's a guy that he got the ups because of being a bronze medalist, and he's got a good right hand. And the right hand really is not even the most educated right hand. You know, he's got power. He throws with conviction with it, but he really just throws just to throw it, and it's almost like bombs away, and let's see where it lands. And it's been pretty good. It lands on, you know, C-level fighters, B-level fighters, and it takes them out. That's what happens here. Now, Stavern is supposed to be the mandatory. Do I want to see that? No. Why? Because Stavern hasn't done anything. You know, he decided in the horse race not to be part of it when he got in with, when he was defending his title against Dante Wilder. And he didn't even fight like a champion. He fought like a guy that figured, I'll walk through Dante Wilder. He's not much of a concern for me, rather than taking Dante as a threat. So has he done anything that makes me say, hey, that was an off night for Stavern? No, it doesn't. He's done a couple of interviews. Big deal. You know, like I said, words are just whistle in the wind. Don't care for it. Now, the thing that I've been asked about here as well on the leavingtheringgmail.com is the brawl that happened between Dante Wilder and Dominic Brazil. What was my thoughts about that? And okay, so look, I said this on Leaving the Ring last week. I said this, that there's a certain way of building a fight. There's a certain genius way of doing it, okay? Muhammad Ali was a genius of taunting his rival and making the buildup. There was a genius about how he would suck that all in and he would suck everybody else in. There's a genius of the way James Toney does it. There was a genius of the way Ricardo Mayorga did it. But when you attack somebody's wife and kids, and actually you're attacking Dominic Brazil in front of his family, that to me, you're leaving the sportsmanship of building a fight. Now you're just being a fool. And that to me, there's no place for that in the sport, to act that way, especially when you're the American heavyweight and the Americans are so much into hoping that we finally get somebody to hold the crown once again, that you're immediately turning it all off. Because now you're just being looked at as a thug with a belt. And now you're just trying to get the demographic of folks that just want to see you lose. And then that comes in that bitterness, because now, you know, you're looking so much for people to turn the cheek and look at you as the king of the world, the baddest man on the planet, that now everybody's looking at you as the biggest douchebag in boxing. And you're going to be mad at media and fans for thinking this when it's been based off of your action. So I'd like to see Dante Wilder clean up his act. I like to see him clean up his act in the ring, outside of the ring as well, and start behaving like a champion. And maybe by 2018, because I don't see it happen in 2017, it'd be the biggest and dumbest mistake for PBC and Al Haymon to do, which I think they're a lot smarter than that, to immediately put him in with Joshua Anthony or Latimer Klitschko or Ortiz, any of those guys. What they need to do, which is going to suck for us, is to put him in with all the Washingtons and Brazils of the world. That's what they need to do. They've been pretty good at keeping him safe, allow him to grow. I don't know if a year's going to help him, though, to correct his footwork and all the other things that he brings as a flawed champion, but it can help him to a point where he might be more competitive to the guys that are more skillful. Anyways, I'm your host, Dave Duenas, here on the Boxing Spotlight. Thank you again for tuning in. Hope to hear from you guys soon on those Leaving the Ring Gmails. Take care.